Eagles Entertainment.
Everything that moves, I don't care who it is. Let's go. Give me everything you got. Play fast, play hard. Let's beat these boys tonight in their house.
It's party time. It's party time. Let's go.
Touchdown.
You are listening to the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Now here's your host, Brand Duffy.
That's right, another day. And we're getting you ready for the combine this week as the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast continues. I'm Fran Duffy. And as always, I think we've got a great show for you here on episode number 521. At the top of today's show, we've got Draft Buzz, where I catch up with my friend Ben Fennell from NFL Media, where we're going to go position by position with a handful of superlatives to get you ready for the combine. We talked a lot about these draft prospects around the Senior Bowl. We're going to continue that discussion here with the National Scouting Combine taking place in Indianapolis. And there's so much that you could take away from the combine. Obviously, the athletic testing, you get a chance to meet with them from a media standpoint. More importantly, the teams get some face time with all of these players, over 320 players in attendance across all of these positions. The medical testing is hugely important for a lot of these players as well. And so a lot to be decided, a lot to be talked about, not just with the draft, but with free agency and trades and all things that go into player acquisition and team building over the course of the next several days. And it all takes place out in Indianapolis, where the entire NFL is going to convene. So an important few days ahead here, not just for the Eagles, but for all 32 clubs. Let's get into it, though. We've got a lot to cover. You can make sure, but by the way, before you get into this, you can go check out my combine cheat sheets, position by position previews. A lot of the stuff that we're talking about here, I dive a little bit deeper into a position by position preview. All of these are articles you can go find on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the Eagles mobile app. I'm tweeting all of those out as well. If you're like what you hear, if you're excited about this podcast, rate, review, subscribe, head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us the review. Appreciate all the feedback and support we have gotten in the last several weeks. That said, let's get to it now. It's time now for Ben in Draft Buzz.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
All right, so here again with us for Draft Buzz, my friend Ben Fennell, we're going to go position by position, getting you ready for this week's combine out in Indianapolis. And Ben, I know you're excited to get going out to Indy. Just real quickly, if you could just kind of refresh our listeners, your role with NFL Network, NFL Media, getting ready for this event.
Well, a lot of it's in the preparation and the lead up to our 4-day coverage of, you know, the scouting combine. I work very closely with Daniel Jeremiah, our lead draft analyst, and preparing video of all the different prospects and drill breakdowns in the lead up to the combine, so we can, you know, air it and entertain you guys for those 4 days. So then during the broadcast, I'll be working in the truck and trying to be eyes and ears for DJ and also our producer, Mark Teitelman, who also does Thursday Night Football. He'll also be our producer for the draft. So it's a whole team. It's a whole operation. It's a lot of prep. And then kind of when you get to the event, you can kind of let it all play out, as many, you know, high profile events. Typically, a lot of the work is done ahead of time, and then you can just roll downhill once you get there. So it's always exciting to converge on Indy, as it's a football mecca for that week of nothing but scouts and players and GMs and everybody in between in the media. And it's a really fun week, as you know.
No question. It's one of my favorite weeks of the calendar year. And with that said, we've got a lot of players that we're going to try and jump into here. And we're going to go position by position in the order with which they're going to work out. And the first group that is going to hit the field at Lucas Oil Stadium on Thursday afternoon, the defensive line, and that first group is going to be focused on the defensive tackles. So that's where we're going to start here. And we've got a number of different superlatives we'll hit with each position group. We'll try and hammer through a few names here with each group and move on. Defensive tackle, best athletic workout. Who are you expecting the top athletic scores from this interior defensive line class?
Yeah, I think this has to be Michigan defensive tackle Chris Jenkins, who is not like his father in that his father was this big, burly nose tackle, played in the A gaps. Chris Jenkins is actually more of a three tech. I think he may be a three tech, five tech hybrid at the next level. Much lighter feet, much more athletic profile. And you've seen it in his freakless numbers over the past few years. Insane upper body statistics, over 30 reps of 225 in combination with some light feet, some really good three cone and shuttle drills. I think he's going to look really good in shorts and a t-shirt. Now, this doesn't mean he's a perfect player. Now, he has some power and some lower half issues against the run. Because of that, he's very light footed. So I think, you know, when we evaluate a lot of these, Fran, there are no perfect prospects. So I think a lot of them come with ebbs and flows and pros and cons, and it's fun to dive into. But a workout at the combine, this is where Chris Jenkins shines.
Yeah, for me, I want to talk through Texas defensive tackle Byron Murphy. This is a player that a lot of people feel will go off the board in the first half of round one. And honestly, when I watched him on film for the first time this fall, you could absolutely see it. 6'1", 308 pounds, a true junior, so a third-year player. Outstanding athleticism on film, but also really stout on contact. He's well-built. He looks powerful. Now, he's shorter, right? So he's 6'1", but he's 308. He kind of, you know, so he's like that shorter frame. He kind of looks like a Grady Jarrett type. He moves like a Grady Jarrett type, but he's really filled out. So you can get some like Javon Hargrave comps in there as well. But this is a really athletic, stout, dense defensive lineman, and the movement skills really, really shine. So I would expect that he's going to be one of the better testers once we get out to Indianapolis. Let's get now to the next one here. Someone who could surprise us, a stopwatch shocker. I love talking through these with you. Who's one that stands out as someone who could surprise us with the way they work out?
It's got to be DeVondre Sweat. Because ooh, at nice. 350 plus pounds, no matter what he does, it's going to look impressive. Now, this is not a slug nose tackle one tech. This is a guy with a good first step and a good get off, very much like our own Jordan Davis coming out of Georgia, a guy that's much more athletic than his height, weight, speed profile may suggest. So a guy that people are trying to figure out what he can do as far as get up the field and some sub package alignments and schemes like that. But at 6'4" and all intents, about 355, 360 pounds. I know he was a little shy about getting on the scale at the Senior Bowl, but he's going to have to here in Indianapolis to get an official measurement. So I think 6'4", 350, 360, it's going to look really impressive out there. 40-yard dash, moving around. It is in shorts and a t-shirt out there, but anything at that height and weight, it's going to look good.
Yeah, and for me, I'm going to go with Brandon Dorlus, another guy that was down at the Senior Bowl, 6'3". He's a little bit lighter, certainly, 270 pounds. We're talking maybe a 100-pound difference here. Dorlus has been a guy that is kind of flexed between both defensive end and defensive tackle throughout his time with the Ducks. But when you see that quickness off the ball, I've compared him in the past to current Eagle Milton Williams. I wrote down David Onyemata while watching him, a Breland Speaks, if you remember him coming out of Ole Miss a few years back. I think when you look at Dorlus, he's got that hybrid skill set that I think plays really well to today's game. He's going to be scheme versatile. He can fit with a lot of different teams and systems moving to the NFL. And that ability to win as a rusher from multiple techniques, both inside and outside, I think that's going to allow him to test a little bit better than people think. And he was extremely productive throughout the course of his career with Oregon as well. So this is a guy I think that's got a high floor and a high ceiling. Really excited about what he can bring to the table.
Let's now go to the next one. Trust him. Remember Antonio Smith?
I do. That's a good
Texans,
one.
Texans, he used to have the samurai sword celebration. He was also like a 3-tech, 5-tech. He can play with some other teams as well, but a similar type of player.
No, that's a really good one. Let's go to the next category here. Trust the tape. You know, a guy that we're not expecting to test well. You know, he's not a guy that's known for his great athleticism, but that means don't count it against him when the test scores come back modestly. Who's a guy that steps up into this category for you?
This is going to be McKinley Jackson at Texas A&M. This is more of a true nose tackle, more of the you're not moving me off the spot, but I'm also not moving forward a lot, that line of scrimmage dweller. He's actually a really good player, Fran. I think he knows how to stack and shed. He understands his gap assignments, can really get off those blocks too, has some lateral range. I just don't think this is really the workout for him, you know, playing in space, running 40 yards in a linear. He's not particularly explosive in the jumps. So I don't think this is going to be a really place for him to shine. But McKinley Jackson, high recruit, Texas A&M, I promise you, this kid's playing on Sundays. Not really sure where he's going to get taken. Probably a day three type of player that you're going to see out there on goal line, short yardage, early downs for an NFL team. I promise you that.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to go, I'll stay in the SEC here, and I'm going to go with Mizzou defensive lineman Darius Robinson, who has lined up both inside and outside. Look, this is a fifth-year senior who went down to Mobile and took off, and now is getting first-round buzz. You're seeing him show up in mock drafts as a guy that can go off the board later in the first round. And look, the toughness and physicality really show up. His ability to win from multiple techniques also show up. I don't know that like the top-end athleticism is always there, and obviously, depending on how you contextualize it, if he's going to be viewed as an edge guy or as an interior guy, that will change how those test scores are viewed. But if you're looking at him as an edge rusher, I don't know that he's going to have like one of the most impressive workouts. This is a guy that I think, you know, from an analytical profile standpoint, if there's going to be some questions there, right? Because he was kind of a fifth year, like late in the career blow up guy, kind of a 1 year wonder from a stat standpoint, took advantage of that extra year of eligibility. But I think when you look at Robinson, certainly a guy that's going to be one of the more prize targets from that group, especially because of that hybrid skill set. I know you've done work on Robinson as well.
Yeah, and whether you're trying to see if he's inside or outside, some teams view him as both. Maybe he's like a Denico Autry that's a base defensive end and slides in and, you know, tries to, you know, out-athleticism a big burly guard and some sub-packages. So I think a guy that where he's going to play yet isn't really settled, and that's okay. He may be a versatile player for one of those schemes like a Ravens or a Steelers that kind of play people in different spots.
All right, let's now go to the last one here before we move to the edge group. Positional workout you're most excited for from the defensive line, looking for, you know, in terms of the positional workout, not necessarily the athletic testing.
I think Braden Fisk is going to be a lot of fun. This kid moves really well at just about 6'4", 300 pounds. Reminds me a lot of like a Matt Ioannidis or like a Derek Wolfe. Just a really high energy guy that can play some 4-eye, some 3-tech. You want to play nose tackle, he'll probably do it for you. You don't play running back, he'll probably do that for you too. He's a guy you just want in your locker room. Really infectious personality, but some really intriguing athleticism as well. So he's a bit of a athletic kind of mauling, you know, spark plug defensive tackle. I think he's going to be a really fun player and a guy that I think if he gets on the field in the right scheme, he's going to be able to really produce in not only the run and the pass.
For me, and I like that call for Fisk. I'll go with another guy that was down at the Senior Bowl. We talked about him a couple weeks ago, and that's Michael Hall from Ohio State. Very similar build and skill set to the Texas kid Byron Murphy that we just talked about. But I think when you look at Hall, this is a guy that has played mostly as a nose tackle, but his explosiveness really shows up. And that athleticism, I think, is going to pop in those position drills. You're really going to see that versatility show up. Just a really impressive, physically imposing player. I'm excited to see what he can look like in this position. Work. Let's now go to the edge rush group, and that's going to be the second group that takes the field at Lucas Oil Stadium on Thursday afternoon. Best athletic workout from the guys that we, you know, that would be considered edge rushers in the NFL.
And now this one's a little tricky as we sit here on Friday ahead of the combine, not knowing which guys are going to be in the edge or the defensive tackle group. So some guys that may be right on the fringe, I could go either way. But UConn's Eric Watts, I think, is going to be one of the darlings of the week. This kid is an impressive specimen at 6'5", 277. So he's right in there in that, you know, I could be a D-tackle, I could be an edge player, but he's going to look like a Marcus Davenport, and Amari Barno, you know, that type of height, weight, speed, impressive athlete. He has some rawness and some technique issues as far as being a football player, but he's going to look great as far as just out there jumping around, running in a straight line. He's going to jump up, you know, through the building and look really good moving around.
Yeah, Watts was a guy that I was really high on going into the week of practice at the Senior Bowl, just after studying him, that athleticism. And it's kind of what we were talking about with Dorlus earlier, right? That ability to win from multiple techniques, win with length, win with athleticism. That really shows up in a number of ways. For me, I'm going to go with the Alabama pass rusher. A lot of people are excited about potential top 10 pick here in Dallas Turner, former big-time recruit. He was the number one pass rusher in high school coming out when he signed with Alabama. And you see that athleticism, you see that skill set show up time and time again. He's long, he's explosive, he can turn the corner. So I think when you look at Dallas Turner, he's a guy I think will shine here in the athletic testing portion of the workout. Let's now go to stopwatch shocker, someone who's going to surprise you with that workout, and someone maybe off the radar that a lot of fans, a lot of our listeners aren't necessarily aware of.
I think Chop Robinson at Penn State, which I know is maybe a hometown local kid here playing at Penn State, was initially a Maryland transfer, but his freakless performance of running 4.47 at 6'3", 250 is really impressive. So if he's anywhere in those numbers, I think he'll be the one to kind of surprise us. Chris Braswell at Alabama is another one as well. I think he has some power issues at times, you know, power rushes stall out, but I think he can really get off the ball. He's an explosive athlete. He's a guy that has some real linear speed and can jump through the roof too. So Chris Braswell, Alabama, don't forget about him on the other side of Dallas Turner, but Chop Robinson, Penn State, too, that might steal the show.
There's not a lot of like smaller school guys this year at the Combine, Ben. It feels like the transfer portal has allowed a lot of those players that, you know, came from lower levels of competition. Okay, let's transfer, take another year and go somewhere, you know, in the FBS level or group of five level to really kind of show off what we can do. But one guy from a smaller school that I do think is going to shine out in Indianapolis, Jalix Hunt from Houston Christian. This is a guy that started his career in the Ivy League at Cornell as a safety, then transferred down to Houston Christian and moved to the front seven, became a pass rusher this year and was the defensive player of the year in the Southland Conference. This is a guy that's been productive as a rusher, goes to the Senior Bowl as an edge guy. So you see that athleticism, you see that length, converted college safety. He's going to do some dropping in some of those drills down there as well. So he's going to show off some of that flexibility. This is a guy off the radar for most people following the this event, but I think at the end of the day, he'll be one that everyone's kind of say, hey, that kid from Houston Christian really kind of he shined in a lot of different areas this past week.
So I thought you were going to say Javon Solomon, actually, out of Troy, who's that undersized rusher that, you know, may struggle on some early downs, but he's got a lot of that James Houston, Bryce Huff, Josh Uche, sub-rushing demon kind of profile to him. So he could have a good workout too, but I like your pick.
That's a good one. All right, let's go trust the tape here. Someone that is not necessarily known for their athleticism, so don't count it against them when they don't blow up the drills.
I feel like we're going to have the same player here as we've been talking about this player through a lot of the season, and that's Washington edge rusher Braylon Trice, who I think is a really productive player. He's a three-down player. I just don't know if this is going to be his day to kind of shine as far as lower half explosiveness, linear speed, fluidity in space, really much like the way Bradley and I played at Utah and the way he kind of transitioned to the pros. I also wrote Mario Addison, who's that type of, you know, tough guy, defensive end. Doesn't play great in space. He's not the twitchiest rusher, but just a good, well-rounded football player. I think that's what Braylon Trice is.
And that'd be a good career if he became Mario Addison. But we see him the same exact way. So
he's got 144 pressures the last two seasons. Yep. This kid's incredibly productive.
No question. That's something he'll certainly be able to hang his hat on moving into the week. Adisa Isaac, I think, is kind of a similar kind of profile, right? But for me, I want to go with a big-name player because a lot of people are excited about Jared Verse, and no one has been more productive in getting after the quarterback. He's had 36 and a half sacks over the course of his college career, both at Albany and then the last 2 years at Florida State. But I'm interested to get your thoughts here. I don't think that Verse is going to go to the combine and kind of, he's not going to jump out of the gym. He's not going to have the fastest 40, but he's big, he's strong, he's powerful. He's really physical. He can use his hands well. He hangs his hat on that part of his game more so than his athleticism. Do you kind of see that the same way?
Yeah, I see some upper power, you know, in the way he bull rushes guys, that long arm, the way he can stack and shed. He's a good first step. You may see some lower half explosiveness and the broad jump, but he's not a guy that's particularly fluid in space or particularly bendy around the edge on some of those pass rush drills. So not really sure where he'll shine, but he may just have a really solid workout across the board, which is really all he needs to really put his stamp as being a top 15, top 20 player.
All right, let's go to the best positional workout. When you get to these pass rush positional drills, what are you most excited for? Who are you excited to watch here in that portion of the workout?
Man, I really want to see Latu in the running club drill and just see the kind of fluidity in his pass rush and to see him string moves together where you go from that spin move to the hand swipe to then the rip, climb, and bend at the top of the rush. I just think Latu is the best pure rusher in this class, really fluid hands, but also a really loose lower half that kind of work in combination with his hands. I think that running club drill, you're going to see it all put together.
He's always gaining ground as he's working his hands. And that's to me, like he'd be a guy I thought about using in the last category too, in terms of, I don't think that he's going to blow the doors off the athletic testing portion, but just know what he is. I mean, he is arguably one of the best technicians we've seen at that position in recent memory. Obviously the medical is going to be big for Latu this week. But I think when you're looking at the way that he can impact a defense, his hand usage and his technical proficiency is a big, big part of his game. And
he's the best natural rusher in this class, Fran. Now he has some issues against the run, some point of attack stuff, holding up with his lower half. Just watch the Oregon State game and his battles with Fuaga out there. But as far as rushing the passer, this kid is just pure QB production.
Agree, totally. I'll stay in the Pac-12, actually. I'm going to go with Jonah Ellis from Utah. A little bit undersized, 6'2", 243. So, a different kind of frame from Latu, but really active with his hands. He times up his moves well. He's got a lot of tools in the toolbox that way. So, he's a guy I'd expect to look good in a lot of those same drills that you listed.
My comp for him is Alex Highsmith. And I don't know if it was just all those spin moves I saw, but the same height, weight, speed profile. Another guy that really excels getting after the passer. Has some issues against the run here and there with his length on the edge in the Pac-12, but a guy that just knows how to get after the quarterback, and the NFL certainly likes those guys.
And again, as you mentioned with the edge guys, as we transition over to linebacker, a lot of these guys are kind of blurred between all three of these groups, right? There's going to be some of these edge players that are working in group two, and there are some that are going to be working in group three with the linebacker. Some are going to be working with group one with the defensive lineman. So I would say from the process standpoint, this is the murky part of the player selection process for the combine, is that these guys in these groups are a little bit murky in terms of where they land. That said, they're all going to work out on Thursday. So we're going to see them all on Thursday afternoon on the turf at Lucas Oil. But let's get to the linebackers here. Who are you expecting to have the best athletic workout from that group?
this has to be Peyton Wilson at NC State, who's just going to be a dripping, you know, tall, long, lean, athletic, explosive. He's going to look like Jack Campbell, but maybe better, in the way Jack Campbell really kind of put a stamp on his profile and, you know, thrusted himself to being a first-round pick last year at the Lions. I think Peyton Wilson's on a similar trajectory. He's going to be really tough to pass up, very much like a Jack Campbell, very much like the way Quay Walker kind of took advantage of his postseason process. But he's going to run in the high 4.4s. He's going to jump through the building. He's going to look good at 6'4", 238, has a lacrosse background, has a brother that plays for the Brewers. This kid's going to check all the boxes you need.
Yeah, and look, the shoulder injury from a couple years ago that cost him that one season, I mean, that's something that has kind of
put a little bit of an anchor on profile.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the issue.
The medicals are everything with him.
No, the film is outstanding with Peyton Wilson, so I'm right with you there. Let's go with Texas linebacker Jalen Ford. It was built a little bit different. He's got a little bit thicker upper half, I think, when you're looking at Jalen Ford, but the athleticism, the sideline-to-sideline range, the top-end speed, all of that is there with Jalen Ford. I would say Trevin Wallace, another player from Kentucky. And you're talking about all three of these guys, I think, Ben, in that same general area, right? Wilson, we'll see, just because of the medical, but I think you're still talking about somewhere like day two, early day three range with all these guys. But I would say Jalen Ford would be the athletic workout I'm most excited to see. How about a guy who could surprise? Who's someone you're expecting that could perform a little bit better than expected from the linebacker group?
Well, you just set it up. I think that's Trevon Wallace, who's my favorite C-ball, get-ball linebacker. And those are typically the explosive straight-line linear linebacker. And this kid's going to fly in the 40. He's going to jump through the roof in the jumps and the broad and the vertical. But he has some issues on the film. Has some eye violations at time, misdirections. He can get stuck on blocks at time. Has some issues with some lower half strength. But as far as just seeing it and going, that's Trevon Wallace. You're going to see it in the 40. You're going to see it in anything linear out there at the combine.
For me, I'm going to go, I'll stay in the SEC. I'm going to go Mississippi State linebacker Nathaniel Watson. He's listed 244 pounds. He's got outstanding length. So kind of similar to what you were talking about with Quay Walker. Now, I don't think that he's quite the athlete Quay Walker was out of Georgia a couple years ago, who was a first-round pick for the Packers. I think when you look at Watson, he's probably more, you know, kind of in that range that we're talking about right in the middle rounds. But he's a fluid athlete. He's got range. He's really slippery in terms of avoiding blocks and finding the football. He's been really productive the last couple of years, both as a run defender and as a pass rusher. He's been an excellent blitzer over the course of his career. We saw how active he was down at the Senior Bowl. He felt like he was at the ball constantly, especially the last couple of days of practice. So I think when you look at Watson, he's a guy, because he's listed 244, I think a lot of people say, oh, he's not going to test as well. I think he's going to test really well, and at that size, it will come off as very impressive. So Nathaniel Watson, a guy I'm excited to watch here.
There's some guys this class that I call CEO-type linebackers, you know, maybe like a Tommy Eichenberg or Nathaniel Watson.
Sure.
I just think these guys are just so experienced. They're just so smart out there on the field. I mean, Nathaniel Watson's played in 57 career games in the SEC, nearly 600 special team snaps. This kid is an experienced player, maybe has some limitations, like you had said, won't wow you like Quay Walker did. This is a guy that's going to play on Sundays and maybe you're starting linebacker before you know it.
All right, let's go to the next one here. Trust the tape. Someone we're not expecting to test well, but don't count it too much against him. Who's the first person that comes to your mind?
I think that's Maris Lufau out of Notre Dame, who's kind of that burly, husky linebacker that you really just want going forward. If he has to carry a tight end down the seam or a running back on a wheel, you're probably in trouble. This is a kid you want to blitz on third down and stuff the run on early downs. Very much like a Frankie Louvu or the way Ernest Jones has emerged with the Los Angeles Rams. This is a no-nonsense, go-forward-through-your-face type of linebacker that maybe the combine isn't really the place for him to highlight and show that. So I think he's a guy that the tape looks really good, had some highs and lows at the Senior Bowl week. If you could find him, had some really impressive plays out there in one-on-ones and the team periods as well. He's a guy, go back to the film. This is a football player at heart, just may not be the shorts and a t-shirt workout guy for you.
For me, I'm going to go with a name that a lot of Eagles fans will be very familiar with, and that's Jeremiah Trotter Jr., the junior from Clemson. To me, I think when you look at Trotter, he's not the same player as his dad was, right? But I think when you look at his ability to make plays outside the tackle box and make plays along the sideline, a lot of that is from his play recognition, his instincts, and his effort, right? I don't think that he is the most explosive athlete, but I think when you look at the way that he plays, you know, he's still able to to find the football. And so if he doesn't test well, I'm not going to hold it against him because that's what my expectations are coming in. If he does test well, then, you know, I think that that's now we're talking about maybe him going a little bit higher than people are currently talking about him. He was in first round mocks back in the summer and the spring.
Sure.
That has since cooled off. We have not seen that over the last couple of months, but we'll see exactly how Trotter tests once he gets out to Indiana.
Do you have a comp for Trotter?
What's that?
Do you have a comp for Trotter?
I don't. Do you?
Yeah, I have two names written down because I think he's going to measure in right around 6 foot, 225, 230, maybe even be a 5'11 guy. So it has to be somebody with a shorter profile. I have David Long Jr., who's carved out a really nice career coming out of West Virginia. He just took a free agent contract to the Dolphins after starting his career with the Titans. And then Wesley Woodyard. It's kind of a throwback name as a veteran linebacker with the Broncos out there, but shorter profile guy that can really move laterally. Good blitzer. I mean, Trotter Jr. ran 4.81 in high school. So he's a guy that's probably going to come in at, you know, the 4.6s and look pretty good out there in the field.
Yeah, and I think there were some he kind of reminded me a little bit of like N'Kobe Dean coming out of Georgia as
good.
Well. I think there's some similarities there as well. How about positional workout? Who are you excited to see go through position work?
Well, one of my favorite players in this class, I think just going to be a darling of the week. He's going to be a guy that won't wow you, maybe not A pluses in any workout or any drill or any test, but he's going to be an A, B plus across the board, and it's going to work himself right into a early day two selection. I think that's Cedric Gray out of North Carolina. I think this kid's a tremendous athlete. He's really good against the run, yet he can move backwards in his zone drops, good lateral range. Good special teams player, tremendous ball skills. He has some really impressive interceptions in his career. He has 5 picks, 7 forced fumbles in his career. He ran 4.61 in high school, so he could be a 4.55 guy as well. Really athletic. He won't wow you in the 4.4s like a Peyton Wilson, but he's no slouch either. So I think he's a guy that can play like a, you know, the way Jalen Smith, you know, played at Notre Dame, or even like a Telvin Smith at Florida State, the way he converted to linebacker in the NFL. He's a really athletic player. I think he's going to have a great week and kind of put his stamp on being a round two player.
No, that's a really good one. I like Cedric Gray a lot. And I honestly, a player that I think is very similar is Junior Colson from Michigan, who similar kind of frame kid, you know, 6'3", 247 pounds. I wouldn't count him as like purely explosive, but this is a guy that I think, especially at that size, he's really quick. He's rangy. He's got the ability to make plays outside the tackle box, outside the hashes. He's tall. He's thick. He's long. He's got good block attention. His ability to key and diagnose is really strong. He doesn't miss a lot of tackles. His missed tackle rate was really, really high. That kind of backed that up based off what you watch on film. So I think when you look at Junior Colson, he's a player that declared for the draft after the national championship season with Michigan. A lot of people view him as potentially the number one linebacker in this class. And I think that he's a guy that I'm excited to just kind of watch go through drills, because for a player that big, again, he moves pretty well. I don't think it'll be enough to say like, oh, one of the big winners from an athletic testing standpoint. But I think going through drill work, I think that will be a win for Junior
Colson. I really like this linebacker class. You know, I don't think there's going to be those first rounders. You know, maybe Peyton Wilson tests his way in there, but the medicals probably pull him back. But as far as day two, early day three, I really like this group out there. And I think there's some other guys like Michael Barrett at Michigan. It's a really veteran player, high school quarterback, special teamer, or even like a Curtis Jacobs at Penn State. I mean, where do you plug these guys, Fran? I think they're day three players that are really athletic, really experienced, and are going to have to play on Sundays. It's just the whole battle of draft capital and where you take them and positional value. But I like this linebacker group.
Yeah, it's a beauty in the eye of the beholder kind of situation, I think, with a lot of those guys, right? And some of them are going to be seen as more scheme-specific than others, but it is an interesting group. I think it's better than last year's group, I think, overall on the whole.
Like Tommy Eichenberg is going to be like a Josie Jewell. You know, he's going to be a guy that's going to go in the fifth or the sixth round and end up playing 1,000 snaps and have 200 tackles for you.
All right, well, let's that said, all those players, they're all taking the field on Thursday. Let's now get into the players we're going to see Friday here. The at cornerback, best athletic workout, who are you expected to see the top scores from this week?
Has to be Mr. Group of Five of this year's class, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. He's going to run in the 4.3s. He's going to rep 225 over 20 times, which is going to put him in very, very elite company. Only 14 players in the last 20 years of the combine have run in the 4.3s and put up over 20 reps of bench. That means you are really fast and really strong. It is a two elite categories. Quinyon Mitchell did those on his freak list over the summer on Bruce Feldman's athletic article. I really think he's going to do it again in Indy and steal the show.
Love Quinyon Mitchell. We talked about him at the Senior Bowl, so I don't need to wax poetic on him any more than I already have. This would have been Cooper DeJean for me, but obviously, as our friend Dane Brugger from The Athletic broke last week, he will not be participating in athletic workouts as he's still recovering from a late season injury, hoping to work out four teams closer to the draft. So for me, I'm going to go with another potential first round pick here in Nate Wiggins, the corner from Clemson, who, I mean, the athleticism just pops on tape when you watch him. He's explosive. He's got really light feet. Really fluid in and out of cuts. He's got the ability to match routes. I mean, all the athletic traits you're looking for from a corner, he's got those man cover traits.
Yeah, he's a really good player. You could see the speed with him on those two rundowns he's had this year, over 50 yards, forcing a fumble, hawking down ball carriers. He's reportedly running the 4.2s. He's tall, he's long, he's strong. Really fun player in Wiggins.
All right, let's go now to stopwatch shocker. Who could surprise us with the way that they work out at this position? Who's the first one that comes to mind for you?
Well, mine was going to be Nate Wiggins because he's flirting with some 4.2 speed, which is always a stopwatch shocker out there. Yep. But I'll give you another one here in Cam Hart at Notre Dame. He's a converted receiver, nearly 6'3", 200 pounds. He's a really good-looking player. He was also on the freak list over the summer. He may put up that vaunted 40-inch vertical 11-foot broad, which you cross those two boxes, that's the kind of Byron Jones jump out the building, you know, Olympic type jumps. He's reportedly been putting up 40 inches right around 11 feet in the broad. Cam Hart's a good looking player, probably a day three player, early round four, round five. Had a really nice Senior Bowl week in my opinion. Kind of looks like Akilah Witherspoon and just that tall frame out there. I think some schemes are really going to like him, but he's going to jump through the roof.
For me, I'm going to go with a player that I think right now kind of being viewed as like an early day three, maybe late day two type of pick. Correct me if I'm wrong here. But this is a guy who saw the field early on his career at Oregon, transferred down to Auburn, and now he's turned into he started the last couple of years there for the Tigers. That's DJ James, under 6 foot, right around 170 pounds. So this is a light, a compact, a very slight corner. But that said, he's got really fast feet, silky smooth athleticism, fast twitch, athletic leaper, good body control, and then good speed. I mean, he can carry vertical routes really, really well on tape. As always in phase down the field. So, he's a player that, to me, like when you watch him, even if he doesn't stick with that first team, Ben, I think that DJ James is one of those guys that he's going to get a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth opportunity, because you just don't see a lot of guys that move this way at the corner spot. And so if you've got those man cover traits, that's going to serve you well. That said, I think DJ James is a guy that definitely keep him in mind as one of the top athletic testers in Indy.
I feel like every year there's these corners out there I just cannot quit. They just aren't that big. And you know, he may be 170 pounds, 175 pounds. You just want him in a bigger package, but he plays so much bigger, very much like a Nickell Robey Coleman, you know, out of USC and the way he played in the NFL. I just want these corners to be a little bit bigger, like a Meek Robertson at La Tech a few years ago. You just can't quit them. They're tough. They have ball skills. They can cover. Just that height weight profile scares you a little bit.
Let's go to the next one here. Trust the tape. Someone we're not expecting to blow the doors off the workout at corner. Who's that for you?
You know, this may surprise some and may surprise myself, as I may be wrong next week, but I actually think this is Kamari Lassiter.
No question. That's my first name.
That I've had some long speed issues with, that I just see a clone of Jordan Lewis coming out of Michigan, who is a 4.55 guy that carved a really nice career as that nickel safety in the NFL. I think Kamari Lassiter is similar. He's a really tough player, physical player, not only in his jams, at the catch point, run support, being a flat defender. I just see some issues sometimes in transition, the long speed. I do see the burst to close. I do see some recovery. It's just that long speed and the strides. He may be 5'11", 179, so he's not the biggest player as well, but he plays tough and just maybe won't be the testing darling as a, you know, a Quinyon Mitchell, Tarian Arnold, Nate Wiggins, you know, some of those guys ahead of him.
Yep. Lassiter was the first name I wrote down. I think that he is like perfect for of all the positions we're doing. He's the guy that I think is like the first name that pops into my mind for this category. So I really like Kool-Aid McKinstry on film, but I'm not expecting him to be an outstanding athletic tester. So, I think he's one certainly to keep in mind there. Another one, and I kind of struggled with this this year at corner because it feels like there's a lot of traitsy-ish players in this group. Kool-Aid McKinstry was who I ended up writing down. And I think he's going to run well. I think the 40 will serve him well. I don't know that like the change of direction stuff is going to be as strong. So
he's a little tight. He's a little stiff.
Yeah. And so that's why I'm not expecting it. And so if he doesn't do that well, I think others will be like, oh, maybe he drops down the board a little bit. That's kind of table stakes for me.
Fran, I see like a clone of Okuda, which puts people's brains in pretzels because Okuda at Ohio State was one player, probably overdrafted. Then the injuries were brutal early in his career. You really don't know what he is, even as a fourth, fifth year veteran in the NFL. But another guy with the long speed, with the length, with the profile, just a little tight hips, a little tight ankled, and just had some technique issues at time. But Okuda had a similar height, weight, speed, profile, and draft spot as McKinstry.
Let's go to our last category here for corner. Positional workout we're most excited for. Is there a drill that you like most with the cornerback spot?
I think it's that gauntlet drill. And I really want to see, I hope we could see, you know, Cooper DeJean and his ball skills. But I think Jarvis Brownlee out of Louisville is going to steal the show too. Another one of those corners. And my corners, I need him from South Florida. Jarvis Brownlee, absolutely from South Florida out there. But his natural ball skills, his tenacity, his kind of physical play style, I think you're going to see all that, out there at the combine. I just think that gauntlet drill, you can really see the natural ball skills in some of these corners. And a lot of them are converted receivers that make it look easy.
I'm going to go with another Florida kid in Terrion Arnold from Alabama, who was an All-American this year. He had 5 picks, 12 PBUs. And as a redshirt sophomore, he's going to be a 21-year-old rookie. He's been, again, the production stands out in that lone year as a starter. Great energy. I expect him to be one of those kind of tempo setters throughout the course of the workout. But the drill that I like the most, Ben, from the corners, I love watching them go through the box drill where they kind of have to like redirect, you know, come forward, go into your back pedal, flip your hips, then turn and find the ball downfield. And Arnold, who's got press man traits like all day. I think that's a drill where he could really shine. So I'm excited to see him go find the football, track it, come down, finish with it. I think Arnold is a guy that could really stand out in those drills.
Yeah, he's a really good player. He's going to check all the boxes out there. He's the premier height, weight, speed, cover, press corner out there in this class. It's going to be him and Quinion Mitchell kind of debate, I think, for the next 3 months.
All right, let's go safety. Best athletic workout from the safety class. So these guys will also take the field Friday.
I think this has to be Kalen Bullock at USC, who I think is the most fluid, athletic, long safety in this class. Really reminds me of like a Jesse Bates type of player. You want to play him in the post. You want to rob some routes in the middle. Maybe has some inconsistencies coming downhill and attacking the alley and a run support. But on the back end, he's going to ball hawk and play, absolutely number to number and take away a lot of deep throws.
This kind of speaks to what I think is the depth of the safety class, because I wrote 3 names down potentially for this one, but depending on which way you're going to go, I didn't write down Kalen Bullock. So I think that, and again, I don't argue with that selection either, because I wrote down Jalen Simpson from Auburn. I wrote down Cam Kitchens from Miami, but the guy I want to highlight is Tyler Newbin from Minnesota, who I think is kind of flying under the radar because he didn't go to the Senior Bowl, but this is a guy that a lot of people felt was the number one safety in the country coming in into the season. And I think that film holds up. He can do everything for you on the back end. He's physical. He's instinctive. He can play the ball. He's athletic. He'll come downhill as a top down run defender. He can play close to the line of scrimmage. So to me, like Tyler Newbin, if he ended up going like 28th overall, 31st overall, like if he snuck into the back end of round one, would not shock me because he's got that kind of skill set. I do think he's probably more of like a early to mid round two type. It's just kind of the feel of his skill set. But Tyler Newbin, he does a lot for me. He'll be a guy I think will test really well.
Yeah, I had an area scout friend that said he reminds me so much of Minkah Fitzpatrick. He thinks that's how it would be used at the next level, and just his height, weight, speed, athleticism, special teams, 13 career interceptions, good blitzer. His kid's a playmaker over the middle of the field. Now it's just the battle of positional value, which early day two seems like a lot of guys have fallen into, whether that's Brian Branch, Jalen Petrie, Javon Holland. Seems like a lot of those playmaking safeties are kind of getting pushed to early round two. That could be Newbin country.
All right, let's go to a stopwatch shocker. Who's going to surprise us with his athletic workout?
All right, this is an interesting name, and this may surprise you even more than my last pick at Kalen Bullock, which I thought was a pretty shoe-in for athletic workout there. But this player, I think, is tremendous and got the late call-up to the Senior Bowl, 4-year player at Fresno State, then transferred over to Oregon. This is Evan Williams, who's a really, really interesting safety. He's a 3-down player, great instincts, great length, great athleticism. I think he can cover exceptionally well, yet he can play against the run. I just can't quit this kid. I think this is exactly what you want out of that nickel safety spot. Maybe not that small corner you play in there, but that athletic safety that maybe has some traits to like a Sidney Brown and the way he played at Illinois last year, but maybe a little bit longer as he's Evan Williams is about 6'1" or so. But I think he's really going to have a great workout for him.
That's a really good one. I'm going to go with another safety, similar kind of build, also went to the Senior Bowl, but much different profile because this kid was only a true sophomore, but he went on an LDS mission. So he's 3 years at least removed from high school from Utah. Sione Vaki, who was a two-way player at Utah this year. He actually had 75 touches on the offensive side of the football. He's returned kicks in the past. He's done a little bit of everything. But when you watch him as a safety, I actually wrote down Eagle safety Sidney Brown. While watching him, I think he's got a similar kind of skill set in terms of just being like kind of a little bit on the shorter, like but dense, explosive, kind of a rocket playing from depth. Spent a lot of time like in the box and in the nickel. I like his play personality. He averaged almost 10 yards a touch, 5 touchdowns on offense this year. He's got extensive special teams experience. And I mentioned the running back background at Utah, but that even goes back to high school. Ben, he was the blocking fullback for Najee Harris at Antioch High School early in his career coming out of California. Ended up transferring, went to Liberty High School just to get some love. But I think when you look at Sione Vaki, the play right now, I think he's definitely a moldable ball of clay. I don't think he's ready made as a safety yet, but I think that when you look at the traits, he's really explosive, he's fluid, a really good blitzer. Like there's a lot to like, but again, I think he's still some time away from being able to make a real impact as an every down defensive player. But he's certainly a fun player to watch here. I think he'll be a guy to watch out in Indianapolis. Let's go to the next one. Trust the Tate, who's a guy we're not expecting to test well.
All right, I'm stealing two names here, but they're kind of similar as they both wear red out in the Pac-12. And that's going to be Jaden Hicks out of Washington State and Cole Bishop out of Utah. Oh. I think both these guys have tremendous tape, tremendous versatility. They could be guys that can play some half field on the back end, some cover four safety. I think they can cover the slot. I think they could also play some dime linebacker if you really needed them to. Guys that are really comfortable down in the box, physical safeties. I just don't think they're elite athletes. You know, if they're going to be in the drills with Tyke Smith and Cam Kitchens and Kalen Bullock, they're probably not that fluid, rangy, explosive safety. These guys are good football players with good size. Jaden Hicks is 6'3", 215. So I think he really reminds me of like a Kyle Duggar at a Lenoir Rhyne. It can be that hybrid sub-package safety for a team.
And Duggar, I mean, he blew the doors off the combine, and that's what got him drafted in the top 50. So if Hicks is able to do that from an athleticism standpoint, then I think that we're talking, all right, like he's going to have a rocket on his draft stock. But if he doesn't, because I agree, I didn't see like a plus-plus athlete on film.
I don't see the testing of a Duggar, but the usage and the versatility. Yes, exactly. Maybe a Josh Metellus is a more fair comparison.
Yeah, and I liked him on Philly. He was the first name I wrote down for this category. The other guy I wrote with him was Javon Bullard from Georgia. Kind of similar to what we were saying about his teammate in Kamari Lassiter, where I don't think that he's like a plus athlete, but he's just a good football player. He sees things well. He's a reliable tackler. He can do a couple different things. He was with interchangeable safety as a deep player for the Bulldogs and that split safety scheme. So I think when you look at Bullard, he's a guy that I'm not expecting to run. He's not going to blow up the 40. He's not going to jump out of the gym, but I do expect him to be a viable starting safety in the NFL. Let's go positional workout. Who are we most excited to see go through the position work out in Indy?
Well, I want to see those little spark plug nickels, the Mike Sandstrels, the Tyke Smiths out there. I want to see them move and change directions, whether that's the box drill, as you had talked about, or that W drill, guys that can get really low and fluid in their pedal, put their foot in the ground, and explode the other direction. So I think Tyke Smith, Mike Sandstrel are going to be the two premier nickels in this class, and I think they're going to look pretty good out there in their workouts.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jalen Simpson from Auburn, who, like his teammate DJ James from the corner group, he's really light. He's a sub-180-pound safety, which that's 178 pounds. That's lighter than any safety drafted in the last decade. So we'll see what he comes in at in Indy. We'll see if he drinks a couple gallons of water before stepping on the scale and getting going. But this is a guy that's got a corner background, right? He's a corner up through 2022 and then made the move to safety last year. So you see that on tape. I mean, this is a guy that closes ground fast. He's got impressive closing speed. When they go through all of these drills, I got to go through the order here, but whoever is going around Simpson in the safety group, they might be in trouble because you're going to see this guy blazing, and then you're going to see whoever's up after him. That's tough sledding for that guy more often than not. So I'm going to go with Jalen Simpson there with a position workout. I'm excited to see. It actually might be Tyke Smith now that I'm looking at it, just because of the alphabetical order from that safety group. Now, changes to the order of operations from a position work here in the combine this year. The tight ends are actually working on Friday with the DBs. So I want to go now through the tight end position. Best athletic workout. What are we excited to see here from Indianapolis from this group?
And there's some really athletic profile tight ends in this group. There's obviously a premier one at the top out of the SEC. I'm going to go over to the ACC though, and I'm going to go with Jaheim Bell out of Florida State, who I think is going to be one of the more athletic tight ends in this class. I know people are thinking, what about Brock Bowers? What about Jatavion Sanders? This Jaheim Bell is an interesting ball of clay playmaker. I don't really know what he is yet at the next level. He may just be a chess piece weapon for an offense, but he's going to look really good moving around, jumping, running. He's a really interesting athlete, South Carolina transfer. He's gotten some running back reps. He's gotten some tight end reps. He's gotten some reps out wide. I think he has a vertical. Who did he beat down the left-hand sideline? Was that Kamari Lassiter?
Yeah, I think
it was.
Yep.
Yeah, he dropped it right in the bucket. It was very similar to a Ringo play where he also got beat over the top into the bucket. But Jaheim Bell is a really interesting player. Don't forget about him after those first two.
I like it. Really quickly, I will just hit on Brock Bowers only because I got a good story to go along with it. Because you know that one of my favorite things to do in the combine is talk with all these guys and just kind of ask them not just about themselves, because they're so they're schooled at this point in terms of like answering questions about their game. I like asking them about their teammates and also guys that are coming down the pipe. And so a couple years ago, it was March of 2022, Georgia had three linebackers. One of them was N'Kobe Dean. We talked about Quay Walker. The third one was Channing Tindall. And Tindall was known as like a sideline to sideline kind of explosive freak athlete. He never started for the Georgia defense, but was a key player for that national title team. And Channing Tindall, I asked him, you guys had this freshman tight end, Brock Bowers. Like, what can you tell me about him? And he said, when he first got to campus, me and a few of my teammates on defense, some of the combo guys, we were all doing gassers before practice. And so Brock Bowers comes over. He's like, oh, can I run with you guys? And they all looked at him. And he's a very unassuming frame. I know there was this like picture that went viral of him and Gronk at the Super Bowl and just Gronk just dwarfing Brock Bowers. And everyone's like, oh, this guy's going to be a top 10 pick. But they all kind of looked at Brock Bowers up and down like, yeah, you're sure, rookie, you want to run with us? And then he just burned them. He just like raced by them on two or three straight gassers. And so they're like, all right, like this guy's got legit athleticism. Channing Tindall, the day after he told me that, he went and ran 4.48. So I'm like, okay, like Brock Bowers is going to be in those like low to mid 4.4s at 230 plus pounds. He's a really interesting athlete. I wrote down Dallas Clark, but I think that when you look at Brock Bowers, he is a fun player. And I do expect him to test really, really well.
I have three names right now. I wrote Dallas Clark, Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed. Now, I don't think he's going to be a 4.3, type of tester like a Vernon Davis, but the Jordan Reed height, weight, speed profile testing, I can see that.
Yeah. And Jatavion Sanders also from Texas. Outstanding athlete. He checks all those boxes too. I want to make sure we give him some love as well. Let's go to Stopwatch Shocker, who's going to surprise us with his workout.
Well, this was going to be my Brock Bowers there, as I think he'll be the darling as far as the jumps and the speed out there. Jatavion Sanders shouldn't be far behind. But Jaheim Bell ran 4.6 in high school, jumped 38 inches in high school. He'll be right up there with him. So I really want to work in Jaheim Bell's name into there. He's got to be a day three player based on his usage and kind of creative profile and background. But a bit of a ball of clay right now. A guy who I've compared to Charles Clay or even a Trey Burton, who a lot of Eagles fans know, coming out of Florida. He didn't really know what he was coming out of Florida either. So a little bit of vision. Jaheim Bell could, be that day three version of Jatavion Sanders.
I'm trying to remember the defense they were going up against. I remember when he was at South Carolina, like him taking handoffs and taking runs up the middle for like 40-yard touchdowns. Jaheim Bell is that kind of athlete in the SEC. I want to go with Jared Wiley from TCU, who I actually didn't watch before the Senior Bowl. He was like one of the names I just like didn't get to before making the trip down there. He's 6'6 and over 250 pounds. And I was kind of caught off by how well he got off the ball. He's a really smooth, efficient athlete. He's got speed down the seam. He could pull away in space. After going back and watching him again after the Senior Bowl, the athleticism stands out. And he's only been playing tight end for a few years. He was a high school quarterback when he was coming out. So I think when you look at Jared Wiley, he's a guy I think could impress in terms of how he works out. I don't think that we're talking about him in that way at this point. Let's now go to a trust the tape, who we're not expecting to blow up in these drills.
I think that's going to be AJ Barner out of Michigan.
Yeah, good one.
which every year there's these Big Ten tight ends, you know, maybe not the high caliber level of a Sam Laporta, but maybe like a Jake Ferguson, you know, down there in Dallas, who, you know, doesn't have the exciting pass game upside. He's a guy you're going to need out there on every down to block defensive ends, do the dirty work in the run game, be a reliable weapon on third down in the red zone. AJ Barner's a guy compared to Anthony Fasano, which maybe has a little bit of stiffness running and maybe doesn't have the elite separation skills. This kid's going to block his butt off in the run game and be a three down player for somebody. Now it's just a battle of the draft capital, but his tape looks great. Also a transfer from Indiana, team captain, over 500 special team snaps in his career as well. So he'll do all that dirty work stuff you need on the roster. Just maybe won't have the sexiest 40 time or jumps, you know, out there in Indy.
I'll throw another Big Ten tight end at you for good measure. Brevin Spanford from Minnesota, just under 6'7", just under 270 pounds. Like he's not going to be that big time tester. I mean, Fran,
put Kate Stover in this group too. What other Big Ten tight ends we got out there?
Yeah, exactly. he's a great blocker, Spanford, and he like embraces that role. So I'm a big fan of him for that role, but he's not going to test well with being out there. Positional workout.
The three names I have for Brevin Spanford are Darnell Washington, Lee Smith, and Levine Toilolo.
There we go. They throw like old school or like late career Mercedes Lewis in there.
That's a good one.
No, even though Lewis was a first round pick, obviously. Let's go now. Positional workouts we're most excited to see.
Man, it's got to be those two guys at the top. You know, Brock Bowers, Jatavon Sanders collectively. Those two are going to move like H-backs. They're going to move like receivers out there. They're going to be pass game weapons for somebody. Now it's just the conversation of team needs and draft capital to go get these tight ends out there. So I think those two are going to steal a show. There's a couple, you know, maybe later. I like that you mentioned Jared Wiley, who I think is going to move really well for his size. He's a much taller, longer profile tight end with some upside in the pass game as well. But those Big Ten tight ends, Fran, that I like blocking their butt off, that aren't going to really be able to show themselves outside of that blocking explosion drill. So look out for the sled during that one.
I think the one that I don't know if I'm like excited about the workout is more of I'm just like intrigued to see the workout is Cade Stover from Ohio State, just because of the background. He won Big Ten tight end of the year this past year with second team all conference. But I think when you look at Stover and you look at his background, he was a defensive player when he first got to Ohio State. He was a D end as a true freshman, played both ways back even in just in 2022, played both tight end and linebacker. So really didn't play full time at the position at tight end until this season. So just what does he look like? He didn't go to the Senior Bowl. He didn't go to the Shrine Bowl. Like I'm excited to see what he looks like out in Indianapolis. That could be like a high upside kind of selection for a team when you get to like the middle rounds of this draft.
Well, we had to put Theo Johnson somewhere in there too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
He's another one. It's a three down player, just like those other Big Ten guys, just like a Jake Ferguson. Blocks defensive ends, can do all that backside stuff, can do the split flow stuff, climbs really well in the run game. Just not the greatest athlete. So I think that's going to kind of put him on early day three, but just lump him in with the other Big Ten tight ends that maybe aren't the sexiest as far as draft capital, but are going to play on your team on Sunday. I promise you.
All right, let's get over to Saturday where we've got the running backs, the quarterbacks, and the wide receivers. At running back, best athletic workout. What do you got?
I think it's got to be Bucky Irving, who I think is going to be the best kind of pass game running back, the kind of slasher, that perimeter back, the satellite back that can do some stuff in the slot as well. It's only about 190 pounds, very much like a Devin Singletary or Jerick McKinnon out there, but he can do it all for you. Just maybe you don't want banging on, you know, third and one and the short yardage stuff between the tackles. He's a combo back in that regard. So you're going to want to complement him with somebody out there. But this is the nature of the NFL. You want a guy that can really take advantage of matchups in space, and Bucky Irving is an impressive athlete.
Poor job by me because I wrote two names down for this and Irving was not one of them, but he should have been certainly for me. The two names I did write down, Jalen Wright, who was a freak lister at Tennessee. Some of the numbers from Bruce Feldman, 44 inches in the vert. That'd be higher than any running back drafted in the last decade if he hit that. 128 inches in the broad would be outstanding. He ran under 6'3 in the 55 meter in high school. So this is a guy that he's got some wheels to him for sure. And then the other one's Blake Corum. Look, 5'8", 210. He's like short and dense. Dude, some of these numbers, like Bruce Feldman, Bruce had him as the he was a side mention in the freak list this summer, Ben. Like he wasn't one of the top 100, but he was like, oh, we're also going to mention Blake Corum. But just casually just threw in there. Oh yeah. 6'3", 9" in the three cone and 3'8", 9" in the short shuttle. It's like, what? Wow. Both of those would be better than any running back drafted in the last decade. Obviously we've had some crazy athletes at that position. So if Corum does that, which By the way, like, dude, he's had, you know, he had Aiden Hutchinson as his number two freak a couple years ago, and the numbers were like outrageous, and Aiden Hutchinson almost hit it. Kwity Paye, same thing, like almost hit those numbers. So, you know, even though those there might be some home cooking with some of those numbers from those schools.
I mean, Maji Smith had ridiculous numbers. Rashawn Gary had ridiculous numbers. I think the Michigan Wolverines are going to trademark this freak list pretty soon.
Yeah, well, the strength coach went to the Chargers with Harbaugh, so we'll see if that can continue going into next year. That said, let's get to the next one here. Stopwatch shocker. Who do you got for us? Who's going to shock us with their workout?
I think it's going to be Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin, who's going to come in over 240 and reportedly run in the 4.4s, who has an incredible get-off and really get out of that stance and get out of the blocks. Reminds me a lot of the way, like, Steven Jackson came into the NFL. Really tall running back, and maybe doesn't look like the normal profile we expect, but he's got some giddy up and some juice and can really run between the tackles and make those defenders pay in space. So at 6'2", reportedly 245, running in the 4.4s, Braylon Allen's a really good player.
So I wrote him down. He was the first one. If you didn't mention him, it was going to be Braylon Allen for me. He was also a freak list guy. Some of the 10-yard split stuff with him, it's just freaky at that size.
He's also a good pass protector too. Yep. So he's a guy I think coaches are going to love.
Let me go to a completely off the radar here, because this guy's got one college start from Louisville, started his career at Wisconsin, and was a high school wide receiver, right? So this is a guy that has really not played the running back position often. He was a three-time state champ in the long jump, 100 meter, 4x100 relay, three state runner-ups as well. High school basketball player. This is Isaac Guerrero from Louisville, one of two Louisville backs going to the combine. This kid's going to fly. So he's going to, like, no one knows about Guerrero right now. He went to the Shrine Bowl, but again, just that has not been like a productive collegiate player. But I think we're coming out, everyone's going to be like, oh, like, he's going to be everyone's like favorite, like day three. I want to get this guy. Adam's a return man. He's been a productive return guy throughout his career. He'll be on a lot of people's mock drafts, so on all those mock draft simulators. So Isaac Guerrero, he'll be a guy to watch here for the combine. I think he'll shock a lot of people.
That's a good one. I've been dancing around his tape on my watch list here over the past few days. I got to get to him. I'll prioritize him this afternoon.
He's got some juice for sure. Let's go trust the tape. Who are we not expecting to work out great, but we still like the player?
I think this could be Trey Benson at Florida State.
Yes, good one.
Who I think is that guy that, you know, kind of wants to put the ball under his armpit and like fight every defender. You know, he's a guy like the way David Montgomery played at Iowa State, or even like a Jeremy Hill at LSU. It's a guy that just seems like he's angry all the time. I just don't know where he's going to be able to show that at the combine. Maybe has some long speed in the 40 and has some lower half explosiveness, but he's just a dirty work runner out there that can make people miss, whether it's violently or with some elusiveness. I want him on my team. I want to give him the ball in third and one. I just don't know where in Indy he's going to shine.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one. One of the names I had written down, and I would say cut from the same cloth, Ray Davis from Kentucky. I'm not expecting him to blow the doors off the athletic testing portion of the workout, but he's just a good football player. Makes people miss. He's really strong through contact. He checked a lot of those same boxes you're talking about with Trey Benson. Isaiah Davis, too, similar from South Dakota State. He doesn't have any juice whatsoever. Like, he might have, I don't know, like, what he's going to run in the 40. I can't imagine it's going to be a strong number, but he's a good football player as well. Let's go to the position workout. Who are you most excited to see go through all the running back specific drills here in Indianapolis?
I think collectively, as far as catching the ball, you know, making the right reads and the cuts, and as far as a running back and the drills and the tests, I think Marshawn Lloyd is going to be a big winner this week. Who's a South Carolina transfer, was the leading rusher for USC this year. Maybe a little bit undersized at 5'9", 215, but very much has like the Knowshon Moreno or DeAndre Swift profile that I think can do a lot more in the pass game. Lloyd's got some really impressive plays in the pass game. He's got some seam touchdowns, really creative stuff in the screen game. He's got some vision at times that drives you crazy. Sometimes circles back for a 40-yard touchdown. Sometimes circles back for an 8-yard loss. You know, he's one of those running backs that maybe tries to do too much in the offense. But he's a really productive player, and he's a really athletic player. He's going to look good at pretty much every drill.
Yeah, it was the first name I wrote down for this category, so I'm glad that you hit on him. I'm going to go with another Senior Bowl player in Dylan Laub from New Hampshire. 5'9", 210. He was one of the darlings from the Senior Bowl just because of what he can do as a pass catcher. Just really quickly with Dylan Laub. The last two seasons at New Hampshire, so 2023 and 2022, he has scored touchdowns as a runner, obviously, as a pass catcher, 9 touchdowns receiving the last 2 years. touchdowns both as a kick returner and as a punt returner each of the last 2 years. So you're talking about the four down flexibility there with Dylan Lowry. I think that he's also pretty good in pass protection as well. Very easy to project a role for Dylan Lowry in the NFL, as easy as it gets here in this process. So, as long as everything else checks out, he should be good for a day three.
The name I have for him, Fran, I actually wrote down Evan Hull. The way he came out of Northwestern.
Sure, yeah.
What was that, last year or 2 years
last
ago?
Last year at Northwestern, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good pass protector, catches the ball well, inside the tackle, outside. Maybe he has some limitations as far as what he's going to run and testing and things like that. But he's going to be a guy, I just think, you just can't get off the field. He's a guy you want in your locker room and maybe on the field on third down for some teams this fall.
So the running backs go first on Saturday. Then after that, we've got two groups of quarterbacks and receivers. So we'll start here with the quarterbacks. Best athletic workout, what are you expecting here?
Best athletic workout. We'll see what Jaden Daniels does, but it has to be him, Fran. He's the most explosive runner out there. Whether you want to call him some hybrid of Lamar Jackson and Randall Cunningham, you kind of see that lean frame, explosive movements, and the twitchy long arm. Jaden Daniels, as we all know, Heisman Trophy winner, Arizona State transfer. He checks a lot of boxes. I don't want to say easily the most athletic, but he has a very, very impressive athletic profile.
Yeah, and much different from Joe Milton, who I was going to go with here, just because Joe Milton is, he's 6'6" and 240 plus pounds, whereas Daniels is a slender, lean frame. Milton is well built. He's got a huge, huge arm, but also extremely athletic as well. It was after a 7-on-7 drill, first day of Senior Bowl, a few weeks back, completed a pass and then did a standing backflip after the drill ended. So you're just okay, this guy is a freak show athlete at that position. So I would expect, we don't know athletic testing, how often the quarterbacks go through the full gamut of work, but if either of those guys does the full list of drills, they'll be one of the best athletic testers at the position really in recent memory. Let's go stopwatch shocker. Who's a guy that could surprise us with a good workout?
I actually think this is going to be a shocker as far as what he tests and some of the numbers he puts up with. I've heard reportedly in the 4.5s. That's JJ McCarthy.
Good one.
I think he's a tremendous athlete at 6'3", 205 pounds, maybe a little bit slender for NFL standards. You want him a little bit more in that 215, 220. I know some people have compared him to an Alex Smith or Ryan Tannehill, who had a little bit more body armor around the ribs and through the core as far as muscle mass and things like that, which he certainly has room to grow. He's still a very young kid. I think he just turned 21 years old last month. So yep. JJ McCarthy, he's a guy that I know a lot of people want a bigger body of work in that run first offense, but watch a lot of the QB run game they designed for him as well. He got out of Dodge quite a bit, whether it was scrambling or some QB power and some zone read stuff. This kid can boogie, and I think he's going to look really good testing in Indy.
Really quickly, are you pro JJ McCarthy? Are you cautious with JJ McCarthy as a quarterback?
I'm pro JJ McCarthy. I think he showed a lot of NFL style traits I would look for on the field. I do have some issues with some things. I think he's a bit of a one speed thrower. Everything is a fastball and flat, very much like Justin Herbert coming out of Oregon. But as far as his vision, his ball placement, his kind of confidence in his accuracy, as we had seen, with those defenders turn quite a bit through his 2 year starting, and then his ability to perform in big games. He's done a lot of things I think you would want as far as being an NFL quarterback, and just go through the gamut of quarterbacks that started games this past year in the NFL.
Yep.
JJ McCarthy has a skill set to at least compete, contend, perform in the NFL. And let's see how it looks early and what his coaching is like and supporting cast. And as we know, all those other factors that determine success.
Yeah, I do like JJ McCarthy. I'm a fan overall of his game. I think that's a good one to have here in this category. We'll see what he does from a testing standpoint this week. For me, I want to go Michael Pratt from Tulane. This is a guy really athletic. He's kind of a one read and go type of quarterback. So you do a lot of examples of him taking off and running over the course of the last couple of years. Well, a lot of touchdowns on the ground, some big plays on the ground. The arm strength is definitely there too. So I think from a physical tool standpoint, you really like what Michael Pratt brings to the table. He's got really light feet. He can be used in the RPO game, zone reads, and then like I said, scramble, pick up the first down. He's got big plays on tape all over the place. Kind of reminds me a little bit of a Daniel Jones type. I think that's the scene, that's what you're hoping for. I think with Pratt, I think you're probably looking at the middle rounds at the end of the day for him when it's all said and done, especially in this quarterback class. But I do like the tools, the skill set there from Michael Pratt. Let's go now, trust the tape. Not a guy we're expecting to have a great athletic workout in Indianapolis.
I feel like this is kind of Michael Penix country right there, where I think you just have to keep going back to the tape with this guy, which he put up prolific numbers in pushing the ball down the field, not only at Washington, but his time at Indiana before that. He's another guy people want to dive into the medicals with some of his injuries in the past as well. But he's not going to look great running around, moving in space, jumping, running. I don't think he's going to have the biggest arm as far as showing it off, as far as a gun or, you know, throwing it around the yard. But he knows how to play the position. And I think there's something to be said with that. So keep going back to the tape. And he's one of those guys, you can't quit the tape. He's a productive player and he's a really good quarterback. Just doesn't have those traits you're excited about as far as prospects and this time of year that we, you know, try to hype up and really get excited about.
Yep. I think I'm going to go with his Pac-12 cohort there in Bo Nix. I don't think Bo Nix is going to go out and run the fastest 40. He's not the biggest, strongest, fastest, but I do like Bo Nix and what he's put out on film over the last couple of years, which if you had told me this in 2021, I would have said, Fran, like, you are crazy, just based on what we saw at Auburn. But I like the quarterback we've seen the last 2 years at Oregon. He's operated that offense at an extremely, extremely high level. Positional workout, most excited for? What are you most excited to see from the quarterbacks?
I think it's just Drake May in general.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't think people really appreciate the type of athlete that he is. I don't think he's run 65 yards through Ohio State type of, you know, athlete like Trevor Lawrence did. But Fran, he's also not far off. You know, he's 6'4", 220 and moves incredibly well. And just that one little asterisk, he comes from a freak show family of athletes with the two brothers at basketball at North Carolina, the one baseball player at Florida or Ole Miss or something like that. This kid can really move around. He's 6'4", 220. He looks like that prototypical NFL quarterback. He's built like Drew Bledsoe. But this kid can move. And I think he has a lot more mobility and upside as far as being a runner than people think. I know Caleb Williams steals the show with his, you know, magic as far as his loose arm, and Jaden Daniels being an athlete, and J.J. McCarthy obviously is prolific winning at Michigan. Drake May, you don't really know what his kind of trait is. I just think he's a tremendous athlete. And I think a lot closer to a Trevor Lawrence or even a Josh Allen than we think.
No, I think that all of that, I agree with everything that you just said there. I would be remiss if we did not mention Caleb Williams, just because a presumed number one pick and some of the highlight throws he put on film over the last couple of years with USC. I would expect we're going to see that arm talent show up in Indianapolis. No word yet if he is definitely working out. Remember, we had that string of a couple of years where a lot of the top quarterbacks didn't go or didn't work out in Indy. It seems that that has backed off a little bit, and we've seen more of the top guys go out, especially when there's like a head-to-head type of situation. And I think we will see that here in this one. I do think it's interesting. We will see Drake May and J.J. McCarthy again, considering both guys are able to work out and do decide to work out. They will go back to back out in Indy, which it was always good. You can see those guys really go like back to back, rep after rep after rep. So that will be interesting to note as well. Let's now go to the receivers also taking part in drill work on Saturday. Best athletic workout from the receiver position.
Oof, spin the wheel here.
Some
dripping athleticism. I want to go play basketball with some of these guys, but give me Brian Thomas Jr. at LSU.
Nice.
Who's 6'4", 200 pounds, dynamic background in basketball. I think he was a 1,000-point scorer every year of his high school career, but this kid's going to jump through the building. He can run. He's tall, long, explosive. He's going to do everything that, you know, Christian Watson kind of did as a tester as well. You know, he looks like Justin Hunter or Valdez Scantling. Don't forget Valdez Scantling, I think, ran in the 4.3s as well. But Brian Thomas Jr., I think, is going to look the part as far as being that height, weight, speed specimen at receiver.
That's a good one. I had him on my list as well. I'm going to go just with the low-hanging fruit of Marvin Harrison Jr., just because, you know, when watching him in the summer, you know, I wrote down, obviously, writing all the notes down on him. The athleticism was not something that I was like at the top of the list. Like you're talking about like his release package and his route running, and he's got outstanding hands, and you go through the body type, all that stuff. And then the freak list comes out, and some of the numbers that Bruce Feldman put out with him last August are just eye-popping, especially at that size. And so if he goes and he tests that way, that's where like you get into like Larry Fitzgerald and Jamar Chase and some of those like true freak show players at that position. If Harrison does that, I think that just kind of cements him as top three, top four pick in this draft. Malik Nabers is obviously an outstanding athlete as well. Brian Thomas's teammate there as well. A lot of, like you said, you could like spin the wheel here. Roma Dunze apparently is going to like run sub 4.4, which at that size would be outstanding. So a lot to cover here with this position, but who could surprise us? Who's a stopwatch shocker that could shock us with his workout this week?
I just feel like the past few years, some of the stopwatch shockers have been like unusual height, weight, speed guys, like Tyquan Thornton, a little bit tall, long receiver out of Baylor, ran the 4.2s, or even like a DK Metcalf, who's an absolute horse. I think this class is going to go back to the small guys.
Ooh,
and I'm looking right at two guys. That's going to be Roman Wilson out of Michigan.
Nice.
Who runs in the 4.3s, could flirt with a 4.29. And then Malik Washington out of Virginia, who's 5'8", 190, very much looks like Zay Flowers the way he came out of last year. But I just go back to not really this level of speed, but the way like Trindon Holiday and Jacoby Ford came out years back, and they had that oozing 4.2, 4.3 speed in that Munchkin package. That's kind of these two guys. Roman Wilson's 5'10", 185. Malik Washington's slightly smaller at 5'8 in height and then 190. But these guys are going to absolutely boogie. We'll see if anyone can squeeze in the 4.2s there at Nate Wiggins.
No, I'd say those are two really good names and important ones to know going in. I'm going to go to those height, weight, speed guys, though, or at least for one, my first one. Dude, what do you think Keon Coleman's going to run this week? Because there are some people that feel like, oh, he's not going to run well. Like, I don't see the speed. I don't see the suddenness, the explosiveness. I don't know, man. Like, when I watched him against LSU in the opener, I see a guy who's like 6'4 and 210, and you see like that basketball player background, and you're like, this guy is fluid in and out of cuts, and he is explosive and he is sudden. Like, I saw that on film. That's why I've been shocked that people have been so divisive with his athleticism. I didn't think that was going to be a question. I thought that was like a strength of his game, was like his movement skills at that size. So what do you think? I think he's a guy that is going to be seen as a big winner coming out of the week.
I just think he's done so much at the catch point and after the catch with, you know, sudden moves and hurdling guys and things like that. I don't know if people just see the oozing long speed the way like Malik Nabers just catches a shallow and goes 80 yards.
Yep.
I just don't think you've seen that or gotten that feel. But that's not to say he can't do that, which is exactly what you're speaking to. So I think the elusiveness and that start-stop explosiveness, we'll see if he has the long speed in the 40, but he may be another guy that doesn't have that A-plus test or that A-plus drill, but is just an A-minus across the board for the week.
And what I love about Keon Coleman, like as often he was used downfield, like a drop rate in his career of just around 4%, which is outstanding. And I would say the same thing about the next guy I wanted to bring up. And he's a little bit more of the compact type of body type. Jermaine Burton from Alabama, 6'1", 194, just under 17 yards average depth of target, like an extremely high number, like always targeted downfield. Drop rate of under 3%. Like, this is a guy who just like never puts the ball on the ground. You love that. From that combination's outstanding, and he just blows by SEC defenders regularly. So to me, like, I think he's a guy that is kind of flying under the radar and will be squarely in that like day two discussion by the time we leave Indy. That's my prediction there.
Yeah, that's not bad. Are we on trust the tape, or are we still
trust the tape? Let's go next. Who is
well,
the guy?
It's crazy. We just got through the stopwatch shocker, and we didn't mention Xavier Worthy. Yeah, who is right, a 10.5 500 meter guy. I mean, we didn't mention, you know, Jalen McMillan, who is a 10.6 100 meter guy. Yep. He can absolutely boogie as well, which Jalen McMillan, I've heard everything from first round receiver to seventh round receiver. This guy is one of the more polarizing receivers because he has that injury and was obviously in the offense with two other dynamic receivers. Some people really like him. Some people think he's just a guy, one of the more interesting profiles there. But some of these guys have some serious track backgrounds. But as far as trusting the tape, I think it's got to be Ladd McConkey. You know, I don't know if he's going to run in the, you know, the low 4.4s or jump through the building, but as we all know, this guy plays receiver. He separates and catches the ball, and I love this time of year of going back to what these positions really require. And receiver does not require you to jump through the building, run 4.3 and be 6.4 to win. You have to separate and catch the ball. That's what Ladd McConkey's done every snap of his career. Just put on the tape, and he, I think, is the proverbial trust the tape prospect this week.
See, I almost used him as my stopwatch shocker. Like, I think he's going to run a little bit better than people think. But at the end of the day, like, I think that he fits in this category too, just because like at the end, you check all these other boxes with him.
He ran 4.56 in high school, so he's not going to be slow. He'll probably be right around 4.50. We'll see if a good start or maybe a little quick twitch on the stop could get him into like a 4.48 ballpark.
At the end of the day, like, people I think are quick to pigeonhole, like, oh, he's just a slot guy. Like, I think he could play outside, and I think he'll show that he has that skill set to be able to do that with the way he runs and the way he tests. I'm going to go Jamari Thrash here, another guy that was down at the Senior Bowl. I think Thrash, He's not quite the route runner that McConkey is, but he's got a really good release package, and he is a savvy route runner. He sets things up well. He's got good body lean. He messes with his pacing and his pad level through the route. Like, yeah, he sets things up pretty well, pretty reliable at the catch point, more like smooth and fluid than he is explosive and sudden as an athlete, right? So not a guy that I think is going to blow the doors off the workout, but I think he's a really reliable pass catcher. I think he's a guy that projects well. It's like a, you know, number three, number four type of receiver, you know, in the league. And I think that's perfectly fine. So I do like a Jamari Thrash and what he brings to the table. Let's go now. Positional workout. We're most excited for out of all these guys. I mean, you and I both love the gauntlet, right? Is there a guy that you're excited to see go through the gauntlet?
I think Malik Nabers and his ability to kind of pluck that ball, maintaining speed and going.
Yep.
There's another guy I just want to fill out my basketball team with, obviously Harrison, Brian Thomas, Keon Coleman, but right. AD Mitchell. Don't forget about Adonai Mitchell out there as well, who's every bit of 6'4", 200 pounds, like the rest of them, transferring over from Georgia. I think he's going to be a big winner of the week. I don't know if he's a 4'4 guy. I don't know if he's a 40-inch vertical guy, but he's not far off either. He's a guy that I think is the premier ball winner of this class as far as winning above the rim, very much like a George Pickens or maybe even our own Alshon Jeffrey, the way he came out of South Carolina a few years back.
Yeah, and he's like the way he snaps things off is just really, really impressive.
Yeah. He's got that suddenness at the top.
Yeah, but so I think he's going to look good like in the route running portion of things as well. You know, when he's like dialed in, he's as gifted as a lot of these guys that we're talking about in this class. So
here's one for you to put you on the spot, though, Fran. Gauntlet drill. Yep. Who do you want to see as far as maybe to challenge that? Who's a guy whose hands have put you into question that you really want to see go through that gauntlet drill?
Really quickly, just buzzing through. I want to like,
because
look
the one
the
for
here.
Me, while you're thinking, which yep. I think we were really excited to watch down in Mobile and left us a little bit disappointed. And that was Tez Walker at North Carolina, who's an impressive player, has real interesting power frame to kind of win deep and separate. His hands really left us disappointed down in Mobile. So he's a guy that separated that just didn't win the ball and the catch point as much as we needed to. So he's a guy I think you really want to watch go through that gauntlet drill.
That's a really good one. I think that, you know, he's a player I would put in that list. Honestly, a lot of these other guys, like, you know, I didn't have like huge concerns about their abilities, you know, in terms of like the catch point. It's a good receiving group from that end of it.
I want to see if Ricky Pearsall can one hand every ball through the gauntlet.
Yeah, right. that would be a good one. It's one other name we just haven't mentioned, and I think that the drill work will be big for him. Malachi Corley, and because especially because of the usage, right? Like everything was so close to the line of scrimmage, and yak. Everything was yards after catch with him. What does he run? You know, does he have that vertical ability? And then as far as like all the route running stuff, like in the vertical ball tracking, things like that. Like that's something. He's a player that I think will benefit from this workout in terms of just being able to prove that, hey, you know what, I've got this in my bag. So maybe not even just the gauntlet with Corley, but some of those vertical route stems that we'll see from them in the workout, I think will be big for him out of Western Kentucky. You know, his drawn comparisons like a Debo Samuel type, but I think the workout will be big for Malachi Corley.
Yeah, and three names really quick. We didn't mention Troy Franklin, Jalen Polk, Javon Baker. It's a really good receiver class. I just would hate to go through this whole segment not mention those.
Yeah, and then I think for me, let's get into the last day here, Sunday's workout, offensive line. So our last position here, best athletic workout. Who are you expecting? There's a few options here. Who are you most expecting a top shelf workout from?
Quite a few options here, and it may surprise some as it's going to be a guy that could find himself outside of the first round, Fran. And that's Kingsley Sumatiaya out of BYU, who I think is going to be the darling of the week as far as his movement skills and patterns. He's going to test a lot like, you know, Tristan Wirfs or Penei Sewell. He's that type of athlete, not the level of consistent player, though. So he is that body of work that offensive line coaches are going to want to get their hands on that really don't come across every year as far as the draft and being a prospect. But he has some really rare movement skills and, you know, athleticism. So he's a guy that I think is trying to work his way into the first round. And after Indy, he could stamp it in there being a back end of round one.
Yeah, I think he was number three on Bruce's freak list and a redshirt sophomore, 21-year-old rookie. He's Penei Sewell's cousin. You mentioned the similarities to Penei. He's Penei Sewell's cousin, was a team captain this year as a redshirt sophomore. Like there's so much to love about the profile with Kingsley, but obviously, like I said, kind of a moldable ball of clay from that standpoint. I probably would have gone Jackson Powers Johnson here, the center from Oregon, who, like Kingsley, was a third-year player, only a one-year starter. But it sounds like he's not going to work out just because of an injury sustained down in Mobile. So I'm going to go with Tyler Guyton, the tackle from Oregon or from Oklahoma, former tight end who converted to tackle, only a one-year starter. So another small body of work, but this guy's got outstanding feet, great range, really fluid, explosive athlete. The change of direction stuff is going to be all impressive with Guyton. So he'll be the guy that I want to highlight here as the best athletic workout. Let's go now with someone who could surprise, who's someone that is kind of off the radar or maybe might test a little better than people think.
I'm going to go with a UConn prospect, and that's Christian Haynes, who I thought had a great week down in Mobile, but he's got really, really good film as well. If you get your hands on it, UConn, that independent program that's played some variety of different opponents as well. So you could watch him against SEC opponents. He's played Arkansas. He's played Clemson. He's played Michigan in 2022. It reminds me almost like a clone of Dylan Parham coming out of Memphis a few years back. Also reminds me a little bit of Zion Johnson, the way he plays too. Kind of narrow stance guys that are really quick off the ball. I bet he's going to flirt with a 5-second 40. Guy that looks really good in space. Maybe the premier zone blocking guard in this class. I think Zach Frazier is the best zone blocking center. Put him next to Christian Haynes for his zone blocking team. A guy that can reach three techs, good on the backside, but he's nasty too, as we saw in the Senior Bowl. So I think Christian Haynes is going to be a big winner this week.
Yeah, I think when you look at Haynes too, I mean, this was a guy that was one of the best pullers in the group as well. Watching him on film, just outstanding reps on the move from him. So looking good, he'll look good in that drill work as well. And I would say the same thing for Graham Barton. College left tackle, started his career at center, and that's where a lot of people feel he's going to make the move to the interior in the NFL. So he's got some position flexibility, but I love this guy on the run, moving up to the second level, third level. He's outstanding in space. And so Graham Barton, one of my personal favorite offensive linemen in this class. There are a couple other games I could throw in here too. Brandon Coleman from TCU, Dominic Pooney from Kansas, I think is going to test well. But I think Graham Barton, he's another one I think could really surprise people with the way he tests. Let's now go to the next one. Trust the Tape. Who's a guy that not a great athlete based off film. So don't kill him when he doesn't blow up the testing.
I'll give you an inside and outside guy here. Okay. These guys are the premier people movers in the class, but that means they're probably not the most athletic or the most fleet of foot or the most fluid in space. And that's J.C. Latham on the outside for Alabama at right tackle, who is the strongest player in this class. He moves people out of gaps. He may not be for every scheme, maybe not a zone blocker, but if you think he looks like a Max Starks or a Mike Iupati, Carl Nix, those kind of hulking tackles, maybe even slides in and plays guard at the next level that wants to move people in the run game, vertical displacement, that's J.C. Latham. I bet he reps close to 30, maybe even 40 in the bench press, but I don't really know what else he's going to look great in out at Indy. And then on the inside, Christian Mahogany at a Boston College is very similar. He's a kind of mauling inside offensive lineman, moves people in the run game, is surprisingly good in pass protection. But again, a guy you're not going to get out in space in the screen game. He's probably not going to cut off a lot of people on the backside of zone, has some movement limitations, also off that torn ACL. He reminds me a lot of like Aaron Banks, who plays left guard for the 49ers, or even the way Big V transitioned into guard with the Lions, more of that hulking tackle that can play much more confined phone booth there. So Mahogany may not be for everybody, but certain schemes are going to like these guys.
Yep, I wrote down four names going into this, and then knowing you were going to pick a couple, two of the names I wrote down were J.C. Latham and Christian Mahogany. So
I don't think Mahogany is that different from Osiris Torrance last year.
Right, yeah, no, that's a really good one too, from last year. For me, I'll go also with an outside guy and an inside guy. Talisa Fuaga from Oregon State, outstanding run blocker, right tackle. Some people think he could be a guard. I don't think he's like great in space, but he's a really good offensive lineman. He's just a really good player. And then Cooper Beebe from Kansas State as well. I don't think that he's going to blow the doors off the testing, but this is a guy I think just again a really accomplished football player with what he did at KSU, but then also just projecting forward to the NFL. He's just really strong. He's physical. He's got good eyes. Everything you like about an interior kind of like a grinded out offensive lineman. That's what Cooper Beebe brings to the table. Let's now go last category here, Ben. Positional workout. We are most excited for the offensive line on Sunday. What do you like here?
Well, I think it's got to be Amarius Mims out of Georgia, because I think anyone's just looking to see this guy on the field in general. So if we can get him on a football field, that's a win. It was going to be Jackson Powers Johnson, who unfortunately may not be working out. But Fran, He's over 330 pounds.
I know.
That is rare company to be that big at center. I know he reminds people of Creed Humphrey. Creed came out of Oklahoma at 310, is now listed at 304 with the Chiefs. This is much more of a Ryan Jensen type of barrel-chested center, which are very rare. Maybe Bradley Bozeman in Carolina. But to be that big at center, that is an impressive, impressive player. And the way he gets out in space, runs down the field in the screen game, I was really excited for him. But we'll go back there. I think Amarius Mims may steal the show.
That's a good one. 6'7", 340, and is not a slug at all athletically. Only 8 starts, so he's barely played. But I think when you look at the skill set there, a lot to be excited about with Amarius Mims. You know, Ben, since we didn't do like a draft talk throughout the course of the football season, usually, you know me, I'm like a stickler for pronunciations. There's one player that I haven't like nailed the pronunciation yet for him, and that's the Yale tackle, Karan Amagaji. That's my best stab at it right now.
Well,
I tried
good.
Looking
yeah,
in the Yale media guide, couldn't find a pronunciation guide, so I'm going with that right now. But dude, he's another guy who's... he's such a hard projection because everything you saw from him was again, there was not a lot of reps against professional quality linemen. And you would, for that, you'd like, okay, let's go to the Senior Bowl or Shrine Bowl, or, you know, something where you could see, and he couldn't go because of an injury. And so he was going to go to the Senior Bowl, couldn't go. And so now we're really kind of left to our own devices in terms of projecting into the league. Hopefully he's healthy enough to go from a workout standpoint in Indianapolis. Cause then at least you can say, okay, let's just see him like side by side with some of these other guys, you know, in this class and kind of, you know, gauge him against his peers that way. But if he doesn't go, like now we're all right, now we're leaning onto the pro day, and it's just going to kind of all be numbers at that point. It's tough. I really like the film. Like the traits are outstanding with him. I think there's a lot to work with, but yep. The projection will be tough there. With
his length is freakish. He has nearly 37 inch arms.
Yeah.
The tape's impressive, but the level of competition is just glaringly not good enough. So I have some more sobering comps. I know some people are a little bit high on him, but he reminds me a lot of Ole Udo coming out of Elon a few years ago.
See, I think he's way like Udo was like a, not like J.C. Latham, but he was like, you know, he was like a more of a slow-footed offensive tackle. I didn't think he had like that athleticism. This kid like can get out of his stance. Like he's really explosive that way.
Yeah, similar height, weight, length. I think Ole Udo also had 36-inch arms. But yeah, sure. I think a little bit better mover. But as far as being a small school profile, developmental traits, or even like a Matt Pert, the way he came out of UConn a few years ago.
UConn, yep.
Very long player, but certainly a project player. But you saw the upside, maybe didn't materialize with the Giants as they had hoped.
Yep.
Ole Udo also has played quite a bit for the Vikings. So these are the type of guys you probably take on middle of day three and could end up on your screen on Sundays before you know it. As we know, this league needs offensive linemen. They need young ones. They need ones with traits to develop. And that could be the Yale kid.
I kind of like the Matt Parrott. He went early third round to the Giants. I kind of feel like that's where
I think Pert had 35 and a half inch arms and was also a big, long, strong kid as well.
He was athletic and he was really athletic. Yeah. There were questions about like his level of competition too, but he got to go down to the Senior Bowl and prove himself down there, right? And that's where we're kind of at with Amagaji is like, what is he? It's gonna be a huge leap of faith. And if it were any other year, I think that would be okay. But just with this offensive tackle class, like he's just going to get lost in the crowd. If he's able to go to Indy and test and do everything you know out there, I think that will serve him well throughout the rest of the process.
As far as like height, weight, length, though, it's pretty rare. He's 6'5", nearly 330 with 36 and 3/8 arms. You know me, I'm a stickler for height, weight comps.
Yep.
So just to plug in those numbers with a little bit of flex underneath, there really aren't a lot of guys. So I think 12 or 15 guys showed up, so settled into Pert and Ole Udo, which may leave some to be desired, which this could end up be this kid could end up being a Hall of Famer, could end up being a Pro Bowler like Jordan Mulata. It could be a, you know, enterprise rent-a-car worker in 2 years. I think that's the lottery ticket to the draft and the fun part of it.
I want to look really quickly at Matt Parrott's like athletic stuff because I do really like that that comp. He played a ton, man. Matt Parrott had 48 starts, had almost 3,400 snaps played in his career. Athletically, at the con, he actually did not test all that well. He ran 4.9, he ran 5.06 off the laser.
He ran 4.9.
It was a solid workout, but not an overwhelming.
What was his height weight?
What's that?
What was his height weight?
He came in. Of course, he came in 318 pounds. 36 5/8 inch arms. That's that length. He's actually the longest tackle from an arm length standpoint.
Really long.
Drafting last
4.9's not bad there.
No, it was not terrible. It's not bad.
He had the basketball background, right?
What's that? Oh, you know what? It was 4.9 in the short shuttle. That's what it was. It was 4, which that's not a bad. That's not a good number.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say 4.9 40 is pretty good for any.
Yeah, 4.9 40, you'll take that all day. But no, I think when you look at this kid, he's going to be one of the more interesting players in the draft. Dude, because honestly, the film, it looks like he could go and like blow up the combine. Like he's one of those like guys that it's athletically, like he, the way he flies out of his stance and he's got the ability to govern his speed. He's got some juice. Like there's something there. So
I thought Jeff Schwartz said it great on Twitter where he's like, he looks like he's playing with his food.
Yes. Right.
Which is, that was the level of, you know, edge rusher he was playing with, where he was essentially able to block guys kind of with one hand and his eyes elsewhere. You know, it was just one of those, really wasn't challenged. Just want to see more, which that Senior Bowl week could have been huge.
Well, that's the thing too, is that he had a teammate in Nick Gargiulo, who was at Yale, who's actually going to
South
combine.
Carolina. Right?
He transferred down to South Carolina and played this year. He started 12 games for the Gamecocks. So, that obviously you were able to get that from him. Two-time team captain Gargiulo was a captain at Yale and then was a captain his first year at SC. Wow. So yeah, nice. We get some bonus action there with the offensive line. Ben, we covered a lot of names. 90 minutes. Really appreciate the time here again on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Maybe we'll catch up next week and kind of just recap everything after we get home from Indy. Exhaustive preview there from Ben Fennell. Appreciate his time as always. We'll catch up, if it's not with Ben, with somebody after the combine here, just to go through who stood out, who helped themselves, who were some of the most impressive positional workouts. I'll be on the boots on the ground in Indianapolis throughout the course of the entire week, taking in all the action, talking with a lot of players. So we'll break it all down next week right here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. We'll talk to you next week.